that they are kings of nations. So it's not that they are not represented by people, but sometimes even people come, different people come and go, and they are still there. The beast is the nation. It may have a major head, like Alexander the Great, who ruled what? The kingdom of Greece. Now, he was, the Bible calls him a notable. In one picture, he's like a leopard. In another picture, he's like a goat. In that same Daniel. And he has power everywhere. And at a time, it's broken and four horns come out. Guess what happened when Alexander the Great died? Before he died, he shed his domain that he had conquered into four pieces to his four generals. This is real history. That's why some people say the book of Daniel was written after all those things happened. They don't agree that Daniel saw these things before, because it's too accurate that he had said it so long before they happened. Alexander the Great was a very young guy when he died. But he shared it amongst his generals. He was very, he had a lot of authority. Okay? So, beasts speak of kingdoms. So, it can still be, when you see a beast, then they talk about horns. It's speaking about a king. Then sometimes it's broken up. Then new horns come out. Those are new kings. You know, the Bible keeps saying that, I saw these horns on his head. That it talks about people, it talks about things. The head, if there's just one head, it may not call it a horn, except there's going to be another need to say more. That head may just represent the person. Like Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. But he had a son called Belshazzar. And another, the kingdom was there, probably even divided between two different people, before Medo-Persia came. And Medo-Persia had three ribs in his mouth. Was like a bear. Then Medo-Persia was not ruled by one person. Esther's husband was an extension of Medo-Persia. It wasn't just Cyrus. In fact, there are two Cyruses. So there's all these things in Bible prophecy. If you read it and just take it and make it a person. So even when they say the beast, it can be that there will be a major person in the days ahead that will manifest as a head at this time. But understand that it's a system that exists. Are you understanding? And not a person per se. It's like they could say a pope was the person in charge of the military Babylon. But which pope? Because there have been so many popes. You get? That's how they could even be a good pope. There's this pope that was righteous. He was good. I think they killed him. The beast you saw was and is not. And is about to come up from the abyss. Okay, then he said that the inhabitants of the earth will be astounded when they see the beast was and is not, but is to come. This requires a man that has wisdom. Alright, so he says that the seven heads are seven mountains the woman sits on, but hear this, they are also seven kings. Did you just hear that? It's seven mountains, but also seven kings. So you can't limit it. I've told you where there's seven mountains is Vatican. Rome, the Vatican City, the center there. It's a city. It has less than maybe about 1,000 people that make it up. It's not big. Come on. Runs, the Pope is the head of the Vatican. Has judicial, executive, and legislative authority. It's a domain. You know, but it's also just the center of the church. And people go there all the time, and they are very wealthy. Because they collect income from everywhere, all the way up. What a system. You wish you could, I wish I could go to their library. It's believed that the libraries they have under the ground, you can't imagine. You know, these guys could ask for the best workers from anywhere in the world for hundreds of years. Michelangelo painted the roof of the Sistine Chapel. Who has seen the Sistine Chapel roof before? Painting the Sistine Chapel. He lay like this for months painting. You've seen that picture of a hand, like the hand of God reaching to a hand of a man, Adam, one naked man like this. Then all sorts of things. I mean, he lived there. He used to, they give him a chamber pot, you pull there. You pass it there. Michelangelo was one of the best artists the world has ever seen. Have a nice painters and sculpt. Painter and sculpt. But, you can't imagine what they have, their resources. It's something. They have been. Five have fallen, he said, of the seven kings. One is, and the other has not yet come. Can you see how it was, is, and is to come? But whenever he does come, he must remain for only a brief time. Are you seeing? So you can see that the thing can be there, but it will have heads come at different times. He says when he comes, he must remain for only a brief time. So there are, it seems, 7 major people that will stand out, and major kings. The beast that was and is not is himself. So this is speaking about the heads. You know, the heads of the beast is different from the beast. Do you understand? I hope you understand. The heads are mountains, 7 mountains, but there are also 7 kings. The beast that was is not, is himself an 8th king. The beast is himself an 8th king. And yet is one of the 7 and is going to destruction. How many of you know that you have every right to be confused? Because this is the language of the Bible. We've said this many times. Most prophecy is understood after it comes to pass. So you don't go predicting too much. Either before it comes to pass or God tells you. This is why you must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to get this in different ways. We can get this if we walk with God. If you don't walk with God, you just want to use your head and do math. God will make sure you're confused. This requires a mind that has wisdom. And wisdom is one of the spirits of God, 7 spirits of God. So you literally have to be given. Many kings, many wise men and prophets and righteous men seek to look into things and cannot know it because it's not needed for them. But those that need to know will know. Yes? Yes. The 10 horns that you saw, there were 10 horns on these 7 heads, so we don't know how they arranged it, are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but will receive ruling authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Are you hearing this kind of thing? Now, there's different things, okay? They said that that area was divided in Rome, former Rome, was divided into 10 pieces, you know, to different kings that were loyal under the Roman. There's different things. I'm not, on these things, I have no position yet. There's one I'm sure. I'm sure of the 7 heads, 7 mountains. We are sure of the mother of harlots. We are sure of that. But there are things, especially things that are and is and are to be. That's where you humble yourself. Do you know I was alive and fully aware of myself when European Union had less than 10 nations under it? The EU. Some people were old enough, yes? Some people may have known about God and known that the prophecy that was taught for years was that in Europe, the European nation, when it has 10 nations, it will be time for the beast to manifest in Europe and take over. And I was here when it became 10 and became 25. How many of you know that kind of scattered things? Oh, you don't understand. People taught it. Popular people. I think how Lindsay taught it too. And many well-known, they call them prophecy teachers. They will draw charts like this. They will teach in all these places. All these specialized, the ones I don't pity, all these places that they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe that they want to know prophecy. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. You want to know prophecy. You think it's like that. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you all things. Can't know it by yourself. So I have no mercy. I wish I could see them and mock at them. People, you need the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and to lead into all truth. You don't use your head. He's the one that will take you and tell you things and you go like, you mean it? And you say yes. And you go like, wow, but they say, and you say they don't know. That was his job. That is his job. So stay close to him. So it was very interesting. I think it was in the 80s or 90s when they crossed the 10 nation mark. Ah, it was like, oh, the end has come. Oh, European Union. Oh, 10. Oh, someone is going to arise. They'll hand over all their power. And, oh, Antichrist. It didn't happen. I said it became 10. Didn't behave themselves. Became 11, 13, 14, 15, 20, 25. And what was expected did not happen. Because that's not what it meant. Why does God allow things like that to happen? You. Why can't you face yourself? You want to appear. They travel. They teach. They are respected. Do you know when it came to pass and they failed? Most times, they don't apologize. Though. They just go on. Then if you said, no, you're wrong, they attack you. Others, their people will attack you. And even though they keep being wrong, it's like all these prophets in Nigeria that prophesy and the thing fails. Buhari can never ever be president. And then he fails. And nobody stops and says, you said something different that time. How did you know? So tell me that thing said. Yeah! The show goes on. Pride. It's not now pride started. Pride. Long! Long! If it could happen with this one, what can... You see, nothing surprises me. The older I am, the longer I live, the less I'm surprised. The pride of man, to me, is the single most high. Whatever you do, people, even if you want to pick, they give you 10 choices of foolishness. Everybody, say, pick your preferred foolish choice. Come, pick yours. Please, I'm commanding you. Don't pick pride. You can escape all the others, but pride will kill you. Pride will take you away. Pride will remove you. Don't pick pride. Do not pick pride. Pick mumuishness. None is good. I'm not saying laziness or that, but don't pick pride. Because pride will keep you bound to all of them. Pride is very bad. Pride will give you all the rest. It will tie you down with all the rest, okay? These kings, what does it mean by 1 hour? God knows. Is that a year? Is that 10 years? Is that 20, 60? What? God knows. In fact, I shouldn't say God knows because there might be people that know. And we are not studying the book of Revelation yet. I'm not trying to get detail. When I try to get detail, I'm sure we have more. But there are things we can only conjecture. These kings have a single intent, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Do you realize that they are the ones giving their power to the beast? But they are considered horns on the beast. But you see how prophetic language works. They take their power, their independent entities, kingdoms or people or small systems, and they will purposely coordinate all their efforts in support of this beast. And these are 10 horns as opposed to heads, even though the heads were also called kings. But it means this 10 will come from where there was 1 7. They will make war with the Lamb. They will fight Jesus. They will fight Jesus. They will make war with the Lamb. But the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those accompanying the Lamb are the called, chosen, and faithful. Are you seeing? Accompanying the Lamb to do what? To fight. Are you seeing this thing is not, puja. I shoot you. As you obey God, as you accompany God, as you do all he says, God will use you and counter these things that sound so scary. The beast. How many of you, since you were born, the beast? The beast of 666. You know how it sounded untouchable? Did you just hear they will be conquered? See it here now. I thought when he comes, nothing will happen. It's over. He didn't just say the Lamb will conquer him. He said, those are coming. By the way, in case you don't know, the Bible says that Jesus is to sit, that my Lord said to my Lord in Psalm 110, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So, truth be told, it is called chosen and faithful that are going to destroy the beast. Jesus is sitting down. He's resting. You know, since that cross thing. The Father has given him the right to sit down. He's sitting down. The Lamb sits. The Lamb sits and we do the fighting. But how do we qualify to do the fighting? Not that you were called. You're born again. Not that you were chosen to know these things. But that you are faithful. You endure to the end. That as you believe now and desire to do God's will, you maintain this state of heart to the end. You keep fighting. If they knock you down, an arrow hits your arm, you pull it out, you treat it, you keep fighting. That you don't give up. That we don't stop. I say this without any, you know, I used to feel, let me not say it so I don't discourage someone. No, it has to be said. Even Jesus said it now. You can fall away by the wayside. You cannot be among them. But remember, if you're not among them, you will not rule and reign with, you will not rule and reign with Christ. You will not. You can't rule and reign with Christ because you are not qualified. You fell by the wayside. Your name may be in the book of life. Find a corner in heaven and go and hang out yet. But you will not rule on earth. You will not be one of the kings. You will not. You will not have a thousand years of priestly kingship. You know why it's a priestly kingship? Because priests are the people that interact between God and man. And we've discussed this many times, that people will be coming and going. People will be coming and going. In the days ahead, there will be the comers and goers, the priests who go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, the heavenlies, and come out. People are already experiencing it and practicing it and living it out in day-to-day life. It's supposed to be so for that company of people. But the time will come, it won't just be the powers of the age to come. It will be the age that has come. And there will be those who go in and come out. The inhabitants of the earth will not just see God. To see God, you must be pure in heart. Blessed are they, pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there's a price to pay to be the priesthood of Melchizedek, who is able to bring out bread and wine. You go in, you come out with bread from heaven, the hidden manna. You're able to go in and come out with wine. What did Saul meet? He met bread, he met wine. What did he get? He was given bread only. The realms of the spirit are not available for the Saul dimension. They do not have the capacity to hold wine. So they will not be given, but they have the capacity to handle bread. He gave him 2 loaves of bread as a witness that was from God, but they didn't give him wine. The people that are going up, going to the house of God that passed him, they passed with 3 goods, 3 loaves of bread and 1 container of wine. Then the angel said to me, the waters you saw, who was sitting on the waters? The woman, the waters you saw, verse 15, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. Do you remember that God has taken out those that will rule with him from where? Peoples, nations, languages. Didn't we read it together from chapter 5? So these people are taken from amongst their brethren. But who are the people that this false system rules over? The rest, your people of your language too, people of your nation, people of the multitude that you come from, they are not from another place. They are part. So God goes in and extracts. Are you two with me? He goes in and extracts some who can rule and reign. He goes in and extracts some who will rule and reign. The 10 horns that you saw, he's explaining, and the beast, these will hit the prostitute and make her desolate and naked. What do we look forward to, people? The kings of the earth are going to attack the religious system and make her desolate and naked. They'll attack her. They have not done it yet, really. Napoleon did a little something and deposed one pope. And he said when they wanted to crown him, because, and then he went and brought back for his crowning, but he took the crown from him and put on his head with his own hand, saying that I crowned myself, he didn't crown me. But normally the Pope or his designate would be the one to crown these different kings. When they want to crown the King of England, Scotland, Ireland, Spain, Italy, France, all. It's the king. A czar, okay, well, they are under the other system, Greek Orthodox. So they would have them crown them. So if you understand this, they are going to turn against her. I can't say they've ever destroyed her. They've not, but they will. They'll hit her. She'll lose to the lamb. They will lose. They will support her. They'll give their support. We are living in very interesting times though, because I think we will see these ones. This one will no longer. Do you know, for hundreds of years, people have been preaching this will happen and it hasn't happened. That's how you know you're truly in the end. Because these things have not come to pass, and they will come to pass. And there has to be a people that will be involved. The called, chosen, and faithful. The only thing I'm happy about is that we are not doing it alone, because the called, chosen, and faithful are from every generation. Why do you think the heavenly realm keeps showing the spirits of judgment made perfect? There, Elijah and David and Jeremiah and Peter. They have to be. They were always meant to be part of it. So it's not that we are going to do these things alone. Apart from the angels, it's the Lamb and those that are with him that are going to take her out. It's a job. And this is an invitation. Hey, you want to be part of it? Then we must walk with God. How then are you going to be carried away with some tiny, lousy sin? And say, oh, it was because I was saying that at least let me be able to drink one Fanta every day. One Fanta every day. Let's use that energy and get close to the heavenly realm and learn how to walk in the spirit realm and interact with the things of the spirit with clarity, with comprehension, that we can know that what's happening now, okay. And they say, so this is it. This is one of the strategies. I hope you know in a war, there are multiple battles fought. A war is not a single battle. Multiple things are done towards a war effort. They are the people producing weapons. They are the ones transporting them. They are the ones providing food to provide for the ones that are transporting or that are fighting, yes? They are the ones sewing uniforms. They are the ones making guns. They are the ones creating bullets. Everything is needed. It is why no matter what God tells you to do, whenever he tells you to do it, please do it. You have no clue. You have no idea about why it is so. We have no idea about why it is so. If they come to you and you say, no, but I have to. Why do you think walking by faith is so important? Walking by faith requires that you do things that you don't even understand. Imagine if the Holy Spirit is making you produce bullets and you don't know why you're producing bullets. Not physical bullets, spiritual ones. What's an example of how that can work? He tells you, study so and so book. Take notes. And you're supposed to keep studying that book. So everybody, when the Holy Spirit tells you do something, and there you are, acting all, that this thing has to be an attitude. Were you here in the beginning? We used to use phone. So what? See light everywhere. All the lamps from my house. You have to make sure electricity arrives home. I think anyone that wants to write can write. Or should we go, my God is not a poor God. It is a shame for the house of God to be without something. God wants to bless somebody here, somebody here, somebody here. Before he just seduced the inhabitants of the earth. Now, come up with one promise that God is not aware of yet. Just give it out, sign God's name at the bottom and say, God said. Make the appropriate sounds. And someone will go and bring their children's school fees for the three children. That's all they need. And we'll have a generator by tomorrow. And man of God will come and say, the Lord provided. And the house, yeah! Meanwhile, you have just done the whole harlot. You just seduced everybody. And made some promises. That's how most of the things from the Roman church came. It was whenever they wanted something, they would come up with a promise. That's why her daughters everywhere. When they want something, they come up with a promise. They come up with a program that promises something. You don't understand. I told you this year, isn't it time we talk? I'll keep quiet forever. You have to know. If you don't know, you'll become it. You'll become it and you'll be thinking, that's right. I liked him, sir, but you know, he didn't really understand the dominion mandate. He makes some strange sound that has no purpose. You don't even know what dominion mandate is, sir. Come, sit down, bring a notebook, I'll teach you what dominion mandate. Error. What error? Used erroneously before. It is an error for the church not to have a generator. You have not heard error used for, this is old now, 15 years ago, when they were teaching the church error. They said error was when it is error to drive a bad car. It was error to anything that any unbeliever would also not like was error. And you sign it, thus saith the Lord. It has been given you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to... So one more time, Philippians 1:29. But to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, so to suffer for his sake. Philippians 1:29 says, for to you, say, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering for the sake of Jesus is granted. It's like a gift. When you believe in him, you're supposed to accept it. Why are we suffering now? Why are we in this heat? For the sake of Christ. Anyone that is not willing to suffer for something does not really care about that thing. Because the same person that says, no, God forbid, we must build a befitting sanctuary, air conditioners, and this and that. What you're also, I'm not saying it's not nice. I would look forward to that. But you have to be able to afford it comfortably. And it's not, you didn't ignore more important needs. Amen? Yes. Ah, no, but we shouldn't be suffering. No, suffering comes with believing. For Christ, take note, for his sake. Not for bad things, for his sake. That you're suffering because you love him. How come you didn't suffer to pass exams? You suffer for money. Do people suffer for money every day? Everywhere. Endure the heat of the sun. Endure abuse. Endure disrespect. But because of what will come out from it, you endure it. So why shouldn't you suffer for this one? This one that is the most beautiful thing or beautiful one there is. Why shouldn't you suffer for this one? Why should you say, I will not suffer? You refuse to suffer because you don't love him. You serve mammon, not God. If you love him, you will endure pain. Anything you love, you'll endure pain for. You'll undergo stress for. How do we know you love something? What stress are you willing? How do people know they love their children? They undergo all sorts of things for them. Look at this. I'll read it again, verse 16. The 10 horns that you saw and the beast, these will hate the prostitute. She was sitting on them, the beast, 7 kings, 7 leaders, 10 horns, 7, 10 kings, 7 ones, 7 and 10. They will hate the prostitute and make her desolate and naked. They will consume her flesh and burn her up with fire. When you see nations of the earth turn against, you know recently, in the last few couple of years, that they've been exposing the Roman Catholic Church, especially pedophilia, priests sleeping with little children, accumulated errors. They've been making them pay fines in nations around the world. I don't know if this is it fully. I don't know if they'll have more agreements or it will continue like that and increase, and they will expose things and make her naked and expose things. Because these people may have records even from past governments of things they entered into. They may expose things. If they all team up together and come against her very strong, she has always used them. She rides them and makes them. You know something like riding a horse? She's been the one directing them. But it's simply saying that these heads are going to turn and attack the thing that was sitting on them. Are you understanding? They will consume her flesh and burn her up with fire. Next verse. For God has put into their minds who? Are you seeing who is in charge in this earth? He can put the heart of a king is in the hands of God. He can turn it in any direction he wants. Oh, you remember what we said about sovereignty? I tell you, it's real, people. And they know those people, they took all their energy and supported the beast. Now, when God now put, he puts it in their mind like a thought. Boom. You just find yourself thinking about something and thinking and thinking. It can come from Satan, it can come from God. Just like when Satan put something in Judas' heart. Do you remember? God can put things in people's minds too. It's not only Satan. God has put it into their minds to carry out his purpose by making a decision to give their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. How long will... Who is it behind the fact that they are giving their power to the beast? God is actually behind it. Have I told you many times that God is behind all sorts of things? God is scary. He's the ultimate power. Even when you think Satan is attacking Job, God is behind it. He's behind all sorts of things because he is God. Have you not heard that there's no counsel against the Lord? Have you ever read a book or watched a movie or something where there was this mastermind behind every other plan? And at somewhere near the end, I can't think of any, I know I've seen things like that. Towards the end, you're like, oh, this will happen and that will happen. And someone comes out and says, how do you think you got here? I've been handling everything that brought you to this moment. And this time, I have been behind it. God is the mastermind behind all things. Until how long? Until the words of God are fulfilled. Until God wants certain things. Remember, a major reason God allows this is what? Why does he allow his beloved go through this? Because he's looking to identify the faithful ones, okay? He's putting them through an identification process. That's what's happening. As for the woman you saw, in case you didn't still believe, she is the great city that has sovereignty over the kings of the earth. That woman is a great city that has sovereignty over the kings of the earth. There's no other city. Say it's a woman, the prostitute. She has sovereignty. She rules over kings. No other king rules over kings. Nobody else. She uses seduction, flattery. This should help you define what seduction is in the spirit. When you just go and look at what the Roman church used to tell the kings that made them obey. I've given you examples. So can someone, let's contribute. Can you give example of present day seductions? You raise your hand, take the mic. I want to hear. Take note, the seduction is whatever makes the kings yield to her wishes. That's what is called seduction. The attractive offers or the threats, let me help, that make people in authority comply. Now, she's the mother of harlots, so she has other daughters who actively have acted like their mother. And I'm asking for some modern day by the daughters or even the mother, things that happen that drive people to yield to the desires of the mother or her daughters. The harlot system. What are the things that are used? Yes, example.
If you don't pay your tithe, things will be tight.
Mega one. Pentecostal church in Nigeria, number one. Major one. Threats. That's why we talk of all the things we point out. It is the job of those that are true and speaking the truth of God's word to tell you, she's seducing you. No, don't drink that thing or you'll get drunk and things will go from there. Like Samson, you lose your glory. You lose other things because you've been seduced by the wrong woman. The church also is attractive and she's supposed to win people, but through a meek and quiet spirit and through her what? Actions. If they will not be convinced with words, let them be convinced with what? 1 Peter 3. Through your deeds, your actions. Yes.
The hellfire trait, like if you don't repent, you die in hell.
That one came from the mother. I've told you that the early church did not teach the hell it teach. I've challenged you to show me in your Bible. The only place you see it, King James, all over, is in the Gospels, through the words of Jesus. You see the word hell. But when you read it in better put, translations. Do you know that one of the ones our daughters has put out is that the King James Bible is the correct Bible? Nailed it. Oh, the things I have been deceived. Oh, I used to be seduced. The world has suffered. The world has suffered. It's a lie that the King James Bible is the real. You have to just know a little of the history of the King James Bible. It's not true. It's just an old Bible that was written by a lot of literary they were good. That's why it sounds so poetic. But to say that it translated better is just not true. The source document is different. I've spoken on this at different times. The roots of the King James Bible. You can search. The King James Bible was commissioned by a king called James. And he received money. And he told them, work on it. They changed it to English. That's the first official English Bible. First official English Bible. Wycliffe had done something, but the English is much older. And he did it illegally, in secret. He had to run, I think, to Switzerland, hide and do it. But King James made it official. That's why it's called the authorized version. The authorized King James version. Why was it authorized? Because they are the ones that were not authorized, not approved by government. And then, so what happens? He tells them, don't tamper with the existing church structure. But that's why you find words like bishop inside your King James Bible. And that's why you see the word hell everywhere. That's why you see Easter. It was time for Passover when they were to bring out Peter and kill, not Easter. There's nothing like that in the real words, in the Greek words. Nothing like that. So why is it there? Because the traditions of the church were practicing it. And the king had told them, guys, you know, this Bible you're writing, make sure. So they have used lies. I'm offended because I deleted it. That's why my quotations, at least most of the beginning ones, except in the last 10 years, are King James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Sounds like braiding your hair upwards. They made sure, look at how long, till now, till today, King James rules, and people are so sure that those that use other Bibles are wrong. It is so ridiculous. The Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament, except it's the Greek Old Testament called the Septuagint. On what basis do you say that that's the godly one? You have zero reason. So, these things are how things have gone. A lie will be touted and everybody will believe it. And they'll use big words and intimidate you. Meanwhile, if you can thank God for the internet. The King James Bible was translated using what they call the Syriac. But its roots are still in the Latin Vulgate, which were the main scripture used by the Roman Catholic Church for hundreds of years. It was translated in 1611 and told you before, the version that was translated first, it was called the Wicked Bible because they forgot to put not after thou shalt dash commit adultery. They forgot to put not there. So the king said, thou shalt commit adultery. They forgot. I'm not saying it was purposeful. It was a mistake in the printing. But it was called the Wicked Bible. Then they reprinted. But between the first and second reprinting, they corrected maybe up to 14,000 errors from the first one. So even the one people use and say, the original, is not the original anything. They've redone it many times. The common version, if you even see some of the very old ones, you don't even understand. Those words don't mean what you say. Let your conversation be without covetousness. It does not mean let your speech. The word conversation there means your conduct, your behavior, your lifestyle. It does not mean conversation. But in old English, order thy conversation aright means order your lifestyle, your conduct right. When you read in King James, especially now when they read storybook, old literature, you're wrong. What you're standing up there with is wrong. What you're just saying, you didn't read it. Because in former times, conversation, it meant behavior. It did not mean words. All right. I'm sure you understand that. And there are many other such things in your Bible. When you're reading certain words, buckler and shield. Oh, all sorts of, you don't know what you're saying. Because in the time, the English language keeps changing. Like other language, it changes in meaning. That's why most of, instead of pronouncing ye, you say ye. It's ye. Shall ye take that which is mine and give to another? It's not ye. Stop saying ye. Ye is Y-E-E. Ye. It's old English. We don't talk like that. We just say you. Not necessary to be that complicated. God has no pleasure. Then why was the King James Bible? Leave it in the Latin now. And Latin was translated by Jerome. And he's the one that lifted that word, aeonion, from the Greek, aeonion, and stamped it, takam. And every time you see it next to the word fire, you carry error in your head. Where he sees Hebrew, olam, which means for the length of time, for a period of time, the lifespan of a thing. So the word olam in the Hebrew, or aeonion in the, or aeonos in the Greek. If I say, listen to me, forever and ever, don't come near that thing. I have a simple question. Are you and I and that thing going to be here forever? Answer me now. That's what the word olam and aeonos, translated everlasting in your Bibles, means. It means for the length of the time that that thing is alive. As long as you think anything else, you're in error. And that's how the best example is the priesthood of Aaron, which was to be an everlasting Phinehas after he killed that silly man and that daughter of Cosby, the Moabites, that came into the camp. And while people were there, the guy was still committing. And through them, God looked at Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and said, promised him an everlasting priesthood, a covenant of salt. Have you not heard the expression? The Bible tells you his descendant was Eli, and the Bible also tells you that his descendant was Abiathar. And when Abiathar was sent home by David, what did the Bible say? The prophecy of Eli was fulfilled when the time came. And that eternal promise, at least according to you, disappeared. 1 Kings 2:27. Solomon dismissed Abiathar from his position as priest of the Lord, fulfilling the decree of judgment the Lord made in Shiloh against the family of Eli. The family of Eli stopped being priests from that day on. Where was the promise made? In Shiloh. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. When God talked about how he was angry with them and what they had done, his children, he said in verse 30 to Eli, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I really did say that your house and your ancestors' house will serve me forever. But now the Lord says, may it never be, for I will honor those who honor me, but those who despise me will be cursed. In fact, days are coming when I will remove your strength and the strength of your father's house. There will not be an old man in your house. You will see trouble in my dwelling place. Israel will experience blessings, but there will not be an old man in your house for all time. This is not funny. I don't want to read again. Let me just add 33. Any one of you that I do not cut off from my altar, I will cause your eyes to fail and will cause you grief. All of those, he said he will cut them off from his altar. They won't serve in the altar, you know. I will cause your eyes to fail. Him literally, couldn't see. And will cause you grief. All of those born to your family will die in the prime of life. And he gave him a sign that his two sons will die in one day. Okay? Then I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest. He will do what is in my heart and my soul. I will build for him a secure dynasty. And he will serve my chosen one for all time. Where was this promise made? Exodus 28:43. These must be on Aaron and his sons when they enter to the tent of meeting, or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they bear no iniquity and die. It is to be a perpetual ordinance for him and for his descendants after him. Exodus 29:9. And wrap the sashes around Aaron and his sons, and put headbands on them. And so the ministry of priesthood will belong to them by a perpetual ordinance. Thus you are to consecrate Aaron and his sons. God does not speak like man. when something is perpetual, it's for the length of the life of that thing. So when the Bible says Aeonian, Aeonos, or Olam in the Hebrew, refers to that time for a period of the existence of that thing. When you take it and apply it anywhere else. And I told you earlier on why the church came up with the commonly believed hell doctrine. They came up with it to keep people in fear and bondage steadily. And it worked like magic. The Egyptians had it before. They didn't invent it. It's an unclean thing. They borrowed it from other cultures and religions. Borrowed it and put it. Because Jesus didn't teach it. Neither did Paul or Peter or James or John. They didn't teach it because Jesus did not. The good news, which we haven't really gotten to talking about, is a light we saw yesterday. The good news is that Jesus came to save the world. The Bible calls him the savior of the whole world. He's not joking. He means it. He will save the whole world. It is just a matter of timing. But before his job is finally done, when he has destroyed death, which may be very, very far away, but when Jesus' job is done, according to scripture, all men will be justified and the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. And it cannot be a matter of who is alive at that time. That wouldn't be fair. Is it us that decides when we are born? What about all those that have died? At the end, you're going to say to God that he's just. At the end, you'll acknowledge that God is just. Everybody will agree that his ways are just and righteous. At the end. For now, even though people open their mouths and say they don't believe it. They don't believe because they're like, how can it be just that you punish someone forever? Look at your scriptures. There's no punishment for a crime in the law that is permanent, non-stop. There's none. There was not even a punishment of burning someone alive. You have to kill you before they burn. There were not even such laws. If you want to know how God is, then you have to check. What has he said in his laws? His laws reveal his judgments, how he feels, how he thinks. There are laws he gives. He says, the major thing you see about the law of God, not just in the law, but Jesus said it over and over again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he said it in Revelations again, in case you're deaf. He repeated over and over again that every man will be judged according to his deeds or works. It's the same thing, his action. Over and over again, he said it. But the classic doctrine of hell is not according to anybody's works at all. It doesn't fit. You know, of course, that just for not knowing Jesus or getting born again, according to the official thing, you go to hell, right? Forever and ever, yes? Yes. For the sin of not. And when people, you know, like I used to believe and all that, you look at it, and the question you ask is this. What about those who don't? And I've heard people, you know, knowledge helps. That's why many people that are very intellectual sometimes have problems with Christianity, normal Christianity. Because they look at it and say, wait, many of them don't say, they don't have the energy. They don't want to appear like the devil, so they just keep quiet. But within their heart, they're like, sorry, explain to me. What about someone that has never heard the name Jesus since he lived and died? Ever. He doesn't even know there's anything to do. And they are all over. Do you know what people say? Including educated people. Yeah. You say, no, everybody has a chance. Are you serious? You didn't hear Eddie Baker go to preach to one boy in the dumps. In the rubbish dump where the boy lived. The boy held a knife or a bottle to her throat. And she told him, no, I just came to tell you about my friend Jesus and all that in Mozambique. After they talked and the guy calmed down. Okay, if we bring him tomorrow. He's not joking. He lives in a rubbish dump and a dog. He doesn't know what Jesus is. He told her to bring Jesus the next day when she was coming. He can come. He wasn't joking. That's the person you're saying. I know about Jesus. And they are all over in this Nigeria. There are people that have never heard of Jesus. If you like, waste your time and argue. It's you that is ignorant. All over this world. Never. Okay, what about all the people before Jesus came? Okay, while Jesus was alive. Okay, all the people that died before Jesus died. How are they supposed to know? Okay, when Jesus died, you're going to bring one funny argument. He went down to hell and brought out people. What about all the people that hadn't died by then? that have been dying since then. This is the most exposed time the earth has ever seen. Communication. There's never been a time like this. Okay, what about the last 1,000 years? The dark ages. What about your great-great-grandfather? When did the white men come? And is it the white men that the white man ate and put in their stomach? Did they hear what he said before they ate him? I mean your great-great-grandfather. Depending on where you are from. And they say, this white meat is sweet too. How would they know what the man came to say? And what about when the man that came was not even born again? They came to look for free, or his guilty conscience said, let me do something so God will accept me. And all sorts of things. So how do you judge when people thought were demons? And their demons will say, sacrifice a child. They'll say, yes. Sacrifice your, say yes. Very obedient to their God. And that's the only God they ever knew. Demon gods. It's not fair. Let's not pretend about it. Now, all I agree is that yes, we don't know because we were not taught. We have not even considered that it could be wrong because everybody believes it. But I'm telling you, once you hear that there's an option, make sure you get to understand it. Because that's the truth. How you know it's the truth? It will fit with scripture. Once something does not fit with scripture, at least, even if you don't know the real answer, at least suspect it is wrong. Once it doesn't fit with scripture, and I could give you many reasons, but I've given you one major reason. The mere fact that John forgot to ever mention hell. He forgot to preach it. Peter forgot. He forgot when it is the only thing we use to get people born again. Is it not hell? Repent or you go to hell. That's what we use. And these guys, Paul, preached around the world and didn't use it. He didn't use that line. Why? Didn't he know? He knew. He knew that what he went around preaching was reconciliation. He did not have enemies from ordinary people except idol worshippers who want to do business. Do you remember why he had problems? Do you remember the silversmiths? There was mammon that he was messing with their income. That's why they fought him. When they won before the magistrate, he said, what's this? If it was an issue of this or that, it's issue about God. Please leave this place. Do you remember? Oh, read Acts of the Apostles. Who were the other people that gave him trouble? Jews. It's Jews that used to stir up people to fight him. Why were Jews angry? He was making salvation available to everyone easily instead of only to Jews. Do you understand? People that don't want the status quo change. Other than that, Paul went around telling them, someone has come. He is God in the flesh. We are all sinners. Beware. But he has come to say, come as you are. The Father has forgiven you. Listen to me. The Father will forgive you when you come. You're forgiven already. The wahala is, if you don't come, it is equal to money in the bank as opposed to money in your pocket. Do you understand? It is the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is not this thing we preach. The message of reconciliation is that the forgiveness has been bought. It's acquired. It's sitting down. All you need to get it is to believe. As long as you don't believe that there's money in your bank, your ATM card will be at home. Amen? You will not go to the bank. Does that mean there's not 50,000 in your account? Your inability to believe is what makes you starve from hunger. Do you understand? Not that your Father has not provided for you. Sin. All men have fallen short. Sin has ruled over us all. It comes in our blood. His name was Adam. He brought it in. Romans 5:18. Everyone became a sinner. That same Romans 5:18 says one man came and made everyone righteous. How? Where? Question. Did Adam make everyone a sinner at once? No. Is everyone alive at the same time? Is everyone alive at the same time? Will people be born tomorrow? The child that will be born today is a sinner? Yes! But we have to give it time to watch sin, you know, manifest more and more. Yes? Are there some of them that are born today that may kill people tomorrow and be murderers? Yes. Are there those that will not be? Yes. All sorts of things will come. We don't all enter into our inheritance from our different Adam fathers at the same time. In the same way, everybody does not come into what Jesus makes available at the same time. That's all. That's the explanation that answers everything and that the scripture supports concerning the lake of fire, concerning Hades. That's all. It's time. There will come a time when every knee will bow. Every tongue. God swore that the time will come. That time has not yet come. At this time, a few knees bow and a few tongues confess that Jesus is Lord and they are saved. For whoever will, Romans 10, confess with the mouth and believe in the heart will be saved. After people sleep in the words of Jesus, who will again resurrect? They will have a chance to believe. But the false thing that no, once you're dead, it's over. Hebrews 9, the false interpretation of that verse that was speaking about the priest appearing before the Lord once every year and then coming out to declare God's judgment and say, God, your Israelites, your sins have been forgiven. Now, when you read that, it says that it is appointed unto men once to die. Who were the men? You have to read from chapter 7. But even if you read that chapter 9 from the beginning, it's appointed unto men once to die. Which man? The high priest, who was a picture of Jesus Christ. Once a year. The Bible tells you it's once a year that he appeared. It tells you, uses that word, once a year. Once a year he appears. But go and read it. And he comes out. If the Lord accepts the atonement, the sin passes to the good, Azazel. And it is sent out into the wilderness, carrying the sins of all the people. Then he takes the blood of the other animal that was killed and sprinkled on the altar, goes into the Holy of Holies. The Lord accepts it. He comes out to the people who are waiting and announces the judgment, the verdict of God is that you're forgiven. So it's appointed unto once this high priest to die symbolically, but it's not him that died, it's a good. And after that death, judgment, verdict, you are forgiven. In the same way, says Christ, once died for us, the next. And when he appears next, he will appear with salvation for those who wait for him outside. The thing is plain. People ignore all the places that say that God has appointed a day when he will judge the secrets of men's heart. There are so many scriptures that say that there's a day of judgment. They ignore all and pick this verse from Hebrews 9 and say, it is appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment. They shall just add it, and immediately after death the judgment. You ignore overwhelming evidence elsewhere, stick with one vague reference. By the way, isn't it obvious that it's not appointed unto man once to die? How many people have not been raised from the dead, even in the Bible? So how can it be true that it's appointed unto man once to die? Because men have been raised from the dead. So is it appointed unto those men twice to die? Where is Lazarus? That guy that they threw and hit Elisha's bones. Where is he? Is he still alive? He died again. I thought it's appointed unto man once to die. Scripture by itself defends itself. But when someone is, when error, when lazy, when scriptures is not compared line upon line, here, little, there, little, you arrive at a wrong conclusion. And then it will be spread as though God said so. But one of the ways you know God didn't say so is that the people that push these false things, even though many don't know, they just repeat what they heard. But they always ignore too many other scriptures to arrive at their conclusion. And that alone should make them humble and say, well, this is what I think, even though it doesn't explain this. Instead of, and you must understand things well, because the true gospel will be to the ends of the earth before the end comes. And what I just told you now is the true gospel. That Jesus came to save the world from its sin. Everybody will be restored. All. Adam. The original plan of God that man will be righteous on the earth will be fulfilled completely in everyone that has ever been. That's why he's going to raise everyone again. But some will come and have to bear shame and contempt for a good while until the end of the lake of fire period. That's why he calls it aeonian fire. The lake of the age. The age of the lake. The same way Aaron's priesthood was had the Passover age, an age, a period. The same way lake of fire will have a period. That period will end The Bible says that the overcomers will not be hurt by the lake of fire. Will not be hurt. There are those that will be hurt by the lake of fire. But it also tells you that the lake of fire is the second death. And I told you the other day, the first death is mortality. The ability to die at all. That is a work in our flesh that makes us sin. There's a second, people will wake up to that, another version, a second version of that kind of death. And there will be those that don't wake up to it at all, which I hope all of us will be among. There will be those of us that will not wake up to that. We will never go through that. We will not have a body that is subject to death again. These others that did not overcome will be subject to it. Sorry, I know I was asking about some of the seductions of the daughters of the harlots that we studied. Two people spoke. One said, tithing. You said, hellfire. That's why I was talking about it. I said, it did not come from the daughters of the prostitute or the harlots. It came from the mother herself. She's the one that spread this all over the earth. Because the apostles of Jesus of the Lamb never did. They never did. She did. So the children have just continued, but they didn't start it. She didn't start the tithing. The children did. Yes, anyone else? I saw a hand here. What her daughters have come up with?
Making covenants, ability to make covenants.
Covenant entering. Beginning of the year, beginning of the month. That's one of the seductions. Covenant gifts, covenant services. And it's always enforced with money. Or is there a version that there's no money for? Is there anyone that, is there any covenant without sacrifice? There must be sacrifice. You have to pronounce it well. Sacrifice for a covenant. You don't enter covenant without lust. You can never enter a covenant with God. God enters covenants with people. You can't find it. There's none. In the scripture, God enters covenants with people. You can only renew a covenant God entered. There are 5 covenants in the Bible, not 20. All the rest were reenactments of an existing covenant. And God is the one that instigates it. We have messages on that. You have to get them and listen to them. I'm just informing you. That's one of the seductions of the daughters. They enter a covenant. They make things possible for you that are not possible ordinarily. It's not possible. But you suddenly are entering a covenant of life. What a joke. You mean all the people that didn't enter a covenant of life will die? Talk to me. All the people that didn't come for that covenant service will die? All the unbelievers will die? All the believers that are not in your church will die? So to live now, you pay. You settle the dawn of life. The mafia boss, God, you settle him. Settle him. And then he says, allow this one. He don't settle. My God, my God. My God is a mafia boss, a capoon that will order a hit on you. If you don't settle him, that month you may not survive. The insult, the insult is too much. The insult is too much. You can never make God do anything. You can ask him for this. You can't bring up money or anything and make him. Covenant with Noah, he didn't even ask for anything. It was a covenant with the whole earth, and it remains seed time, harvest, day, night, cold, heat, winter, summer. It's still in force. Next one, covenant with Abraham, your seed. Told him, bring some animals, kill here. Knock the guy out to sleep because he couldn't do much. God was still in charge. Carried a torch, a burning torch between the pieces. That's the second time God does a covenant. He make a covenant. He signs it with his name. He's the one saying it. You don't change it. Abraham didn't come up with it. God came up with it. Because Abraham was faithful. Full of faith. Third covenant. Israel. Moses was the mediator of that covenant. There was a covenant with Israel. Israel is a picture for us. A people. A holy nation like we've seen since we came there. And it's a conditional covenant. If you keep it, you'd enjoy the benefits. If you break it, you lose. How many of you know that God divorced Israel? Have you read Jeremiah 3? Say, ask your mother for her bill of divorcement. He divorced her. In case you don't know. That's in your Bible. Somehow. Number 4. David. Say, I'll give you a covenant. There will always be someone sitting on your throne. The final covenant. Who? The final covenant is a covenant that God made with himself. He swore by himself to save the whole earth. It's non-conditional. Nothing can change it. Nothing can stop it. The whole world, earth will be filled with the glory of God, the waters cover the sea. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's sure. He said he would do it. Jesus is the covenant head in that instance. Not David, not Abraham, not Israel, represented by Moses, not Noah. Every covenant has a covenant head, the person walking in front. Jesus came to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's his job. That's a covenant with the earth. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Other ones, he said, bring animal, bring. This one, he took his son. Use his blood. That's why that blood acquires for us an unbreakable covenant. There are those that almost try to understand this, but they don't understand times and seasons. So they try to say, anyone that gets born again, no matter what he does, he's still forgiven. You've heard it, right? They don't understand. I would love to explain to them if their hearts were right, but they love sin, so they don't deserve to. Because even if they believed it, they should hate sin, but they love sin, so I don't trust them. If you entrust them with information, I don't know what they will do. They might have a churches full of unbelievers and tell them everything is fine. This covenant is a covenant that can't be reversed. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, especially or foremost of those who believe. So believing is how you enter this, the condition. The problem is everybody does not believe now, but there's no question. Everybody will believe someday. There's no way you see the Lord Jesus as King seated. You will believe. It doesn't matter who you were. The ones that we say God saves sovereignly, like we talked about Paul and all those Muslims and different people, religions that have gotten saved before, is because he revealed himself to them. The day will come. He will reveal himself